early days of my making trips for the railroad, making pictures for the railroad, I had taken the Allegash trip, and when we got to Fort Kent, the other three men in the party with me came home by train. But I got off at Stacyville and got a man by the name of Tracy to take me into Katahdin. And it seems that the Appalachian Club had been camping in there at Chimney Pond, and they had left their dunnage in there, bedding and tents and stuff. And I found this man Tracy that was planning to go in there with pack horses and pack out the dunnage that belonged to the Appalachian Club. So it come just right for me to go in with him, see? Well, we started out with the pack horses, and of course I walked most of the way, and I had the fishing gear, but I didn't have a gun with me. And Mr. Tracy took along a little single gauge shotgun. He said, you better take this because you'll be walking ahead most of the way and you may get some partridge that we can use for meals on the road. Well, I took the gun and went on ahead. And just as we got in almost to Chimney Pond, the firs and spruce grow short and thick and right along both sides of the path, so it's a very narrow path through this. But when you get almost down to Chimney Pond, you come to the place they had cut out and built a long table by driving stakes and poles and put splits on, and they covered it with oilcloth. Well, just before I came to this place that was cut off back in there where the table was, I kept hearing a funny noise, and I thought first might be a deer blowing, but I decided it wasn't, and I naturally kind of crept along easy. And when I come by this point of bushes, I was within about 10 feet of a big bear sitting on the deacon seat of this table, and he was tearing that oilcloth off by strips. He had smelt the molasses syrup that they'd used for pancakes and so forth, and he was trying to find it. Well, like a fool, I thought if I could hit him right in the eye, I could get him. And he was looking right at me, and I fired a charge of birdshot right to his eye. And he made one lunge right over that table, and he struck on his head beyond, and he was all twisted up in the leaves and brush there for quite some time, and I was trying to get another shell in the gun, and it stuck. And about that time, Roy Dudley, who was the cook with the party, came along, and he says, I heard you shoot. What'd you shoot at? I said, a bear. He says, you don't mean to tell me that you shot at a bear with that 20-gauge shotgun with birdshot. I said, that's just what I did. And I said, you'll come over here. He went over there and saw the blood all over the leaves and everywhere. He says, well, where's the bear? And I said, he went right in that thicket right there, and he's right there now. And I had got a shell in the gun then, but we crept in there, but to Sadat, we couldn't see the bear until he started. But he was right there where I knew he stopped. Well, we followed him for much of a quarter of a mile, but the fog was so thick and was so damp that it was washing the blood off of the stones and everything, as he couldn't follow any farther. He lost it.
Apparently, he got away, Uncle Bert. Temporarily. He probably died, though, you think.
Well, he was a one-eyed bear.
One-eyed bear, right. He was a big bear, Uncle Bert?
Yeah, was a good-sized one.
He was standing right up there?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a wonder he didn't take a charge at you.
I know it.
But maybe he couldn't see you after you shot him.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't do anything. He's tried to get out of the way as fast as he could. Well, it was a foolish thing for me to do anyway. I don't know what made me do it, but I never shot a bear. But afterwards, several years after that,